Offshore accounts, as you know, are secret havens for companies and rich people to stash their cash, often avoiding taxes or rules. Switzerland comes to mind, Cayman Islands, but also, and pay attention here, South Dakota. The state's role in managing money for moguls is revealed in the Pandora Papers, a leaked trove of some 12 million documents. And for more, let's go to Robin Farzad. He's host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. And Robin, as far as disclosure, I gather you don't have millions in a secret trust? I guess you wouldn't have to tell me.
Well, being a child of Miami, I prefer to launder my money in my hometown. So that's neither here nor there.
There you go. Let's talk about these accounts, these trusts. What do we know from this reporting about who has put their money in them?
This is a mass uncovering of a who's who of the wealthy across the planet, Scott, availing themselves of tax havens and other esoteric strategies to hide and protect wealth from taxes, press scrutiny, expropriation, you name it. They are across the board and don't fit a one-size-fits-all profile. I mean, former heads of state, including former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair is implicated. The King of Jordan owns many mansions in the United States. Of course, Russian oligarchs, Nigerians. Ecuador's recently elected president reportedly transferred millions into a trust. There's the controversial former head of a Dominican sugar company who's been accused of human rights abuses. He has a $14 million trust set up for his four daughters. There's a Brazilian orange juice mogul who settled with U.S. and Brazilian regulators. So it's truly multi-chromatic and across the board.
Yeah. And these trusts, help me understand them a little bit. We're not talking about a living trust that many of us put in our estate plans, right? These are top secret financial products?
Yeah, these are really the province of the wealthy. It's not like you can walk into a B of A or Wells Fargo and just set up an everyday, you know, secretive trust in South Dakota or the Caymans. The point is it's legal, and the opacity is the selling point. A trust structures a complex web among parties. There's the grantor contributes assets, the trustee manages the trust, the beneficiary gets income from it. Each of these three parties can then point to the others, you know, kind of like that Spider-Man meme, when the control is questioned. So another selling point is being able to game the types and value of assets you put into the trust, the better to cut their taxable value. Over decades and even centuries, this kind of structure can really, really goose returns and, you know, amounts that are bequeathed from family to family.
So South Dakota, I read that it holds assets in this kind of structure of about $360 billion. That's about what Amazon makes in a year. How'd that happen in South Dakota?
Who'd have thunk, right? I mean, then again, South Dakota is famously averse to taxes. It sports no income tax, no inheritance tax, no capital gains tax. Decades ago in the early 80s under Governor Wild Bill Jenklow and spurred by financial special interests, South Dakota decided to become especially lax with respect to the lifespan of a trust before a trust has to distribute assets. I know that's a little inside baseball, but if you don't have to distribute assets and you add to this more secrecy than another, say, coastal jurisdictions, boom, suddenly South Dakota totes nearly $400 billion in trust assets. And so if you set up a South Dakota trust and it could live on and on, generation after generation, it could compound fiendishly in value with comparatively little garnished in taxes, I mean, versus the rest of us having to make a traditional taxable gift to our children and grandchildren.
Now, these trust laws don't only exist in South Dakota. Several other states have them. But how are these trusts different from the laws of Delaware? We've known for years about Delaware being its own stealthy haven for clients.
Delaware is decidedly corporation-centric, much more than individuals. And other states have certainly tried to ape South Dakota. There's been no shortage of ink on Florida and Texas. I mean, the condo canyons of South Florida and, you know, the brother-in-law of a former Nicaraguan dictator or something. But what is becoming clear now is that South Dakota is the most lenient, the most secretive, the most unabashed, even allowing you, the grantor of a trust, to be its beneficiary as well. Plus, you know, these extraordinary protections from creditors of any kind. And so a state that's otherwise not making a lot more news economically is front and center in the wealth management business.
And just stepping back finally, this has become big business in the U.S., hasn't it, as far as the numbers? I looked at one financial secrecy index, and it ranks the U.S. second in the world, just below the Cayman Islands, just above Switzerland. We're number two.
That blows... Yeah, I mean, that blows the mind that we're number two in this. But money, look, it's going to flow to shelters through loopholes, through trusts, through shell companies, and it's whack-a-mole. If Panama and Switzerland and Miami are being scrutinized, there's no shortage of very well-paid attorneys, CPAs, and wealth managers that are going to find a better venue for the time being. And South Dakota has been unabashed about it. And yes, it is counter to your instinct to avoid the U.S., which is home to the U.S. Treasury, IRS, and DEA, but there's also this residual rugged individualism here and a glorification of avoiding taxes. The world now has nearly 2,800 billionaires, and all sorts of bankers and attorneys and investors want to get their mitts on some of these golden crumbs. And so it's always a treacherous zone between the letter and the spirit of legality, whether you're talking about federal law or state law.
All right, Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Robin, thanks as always.
Thank you, Scott.